Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We ask Almighty God Allah today to bless us on this blessed day of Jummah and guide us on the right path. Prayers and peace to our dear beloved Prophet Muhammad, his companions, the righteous servants all. Ameen. This afternoon, we'd like to speak a little on the topic of Al-Fatiha, which is the first chapter of the Holy Quran in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this Book of Allah, it's called, in the first chapter of the Holy Quran, in this opening, it's called the opening. And it's just not the opening of the chapter or the opening of the book. It's the opening of the understanding of the word of Allah. First things first, if we don't understand Allah, the name of Allah, and what he represents, then how can we understand the content of the book? And this is why it's so very important. It's called the oft-repeated verses of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, or the opening. And it says, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the Arabic, I'll do the best I can. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim, Siratal Ladina An'amta Alayhim, Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim, Walad-Dallin. Ameen. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, master of the day of judgment. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek for aid. Show us the straight way, or the straight path, the path of those you have blessed, not those you are displeased with, or those who go astray. Now, this is what we understand becoming a Muslim or Christian or whoever, studying these verses, short verses, seven verses of the Holy Quran. We get a better picture of Allah, of God, and what our purpose is and what we should avoid. And if we don't understand God, how can we worship if we don't understand God? How can we worship God or worship Allah if we don't understand Allah? You say, with Allah's name, with Allah's name. And this is how we begin. So what are we saying? We're saying that everything that we're saying, or everything that we're reciting, or everything that we're trying to live up, is in the name of God. It's in his name, not our name, not some fabricated God or whatever the case, Illah, little God, or some fabrication, but in the name of Allah. And this Allah is the Lord, or Rabbil Alameen, which means he is the Lord of all the worlds. And we're not just talking about physical planets and things of that nature. We're talking about everything that he created. Everything he created in the world, plant life, animal life, all human life, all forms of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. He is the Lord of all of these systems of knowledge, the Lord of all the systems of knowledge. So we begin with Allah's name, the creator. And how? What is his attribute, his chief attribute? How do we describe him? We only know Allah by the names that he has given himself. We can't come up with our own names, attribute these things to Allah. No. The name that Allah gives us is his mercy. Matter of fact, all the names of Allah is based in mercy. But these are the chief names, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And the merciful benefactor is one who gives out of his mercy. Matter of fact, everything that we need for our lives, for the whole of our life, is right, comes from this mercy of God. He's a merciful benefactor, a merciful giver. And God prepares us. Sometimes we pray and we ask, why hasn't God blessed me with what I want or what I desire? For example, I pray for a wife. How come Allah didn't give me a wife? Because you're not prepared to manage a wife or family or house or whatever the case. So Allah puts you through trials and tribulation. Might be difficult, but what is it? Is it hatred? Is it Allah is chastising me? No, it's preparing you to receive the blessings. See, Allah, when he creates a tree, roots go down in the ground, firm into the ground, wraps itself around other trees and rocks and whatever the case, and then it begins to go up. And what is that? It's justifying its growth. If it's not established as a foundation, then it won't have big growth. So all of these trials and tribulations that we go through is a mercy from Allah. He's a merciful benefactor. And then also, out of his mercy, he redeems. He's a merciful redeemer, meaning that when we make a mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us. If we ask for forgiveness, he forgives us and he restores us back to the self that he designed for us in the first place. Just like a soda bottle or can or whatever the case, you take it to these redemption centers that we have now today, and they break it down, melt it down, and they pour it back into a mold, and it starts out fresh all over again as it was created in the first place by its designer. So he's a merciful benefactor. He's a merciful redeemer. And then it says that all the praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We praise Allah. We don't only praise Allah with our mouth. We praise Allah with our body, with our worship, with our actions. Everything that we do, everything that we say is a praise. If we are a mechanic, for example, and we do a good job in our mechanic work, that's praising God, because God gave us the tools to do the best that we possibly could do. Every act that we do of good is praise. You know, sometimes we get caught up in so many rituals. We think that we have to perform, you know, 1,000 rakats or thicker beads of about 50 times or 50 million times in some cases, who knows? And all of these things is praising God. No, every act of a believer that is good is giving praise to Allah only. And whatever skills we learn from any individual, maybe a master mechanic, for example, we thank him, but we give praise to God, because no one that I know of is worthy of carrying that kind of praise, only Allah. Because why? He is the Lord, he is the Rabb of all the systems of knowledge, all the worlds. He's the Lord of all the worlds. And what does that mean? It means that everything that you see that is natural in this world, Allah created it. And anything that you see that came out of the creation that man created, he took it from the natural creation that God originally created. So we benefit. All of our logic, all of our reasoning, etc., comes from the creation that God created. And if we study these things like a scientist, we'll be able to be productive in this world, produce the goods for ourselves, for our families, and for the whole of mankind. Because if we study it and use the same principle that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, created, then we would be blessed. So he is the Lord of all the systems of knowledge, everything that he created, something even to the size of a gnat. He put it here on earth for our benefit, for us to study. What other purpose would a gnat have on this earth? It's for the benefit of man, for the benefit of man's intellect, for him to study that gnat and put it in the proper place or the proper perspective whenever necessary, whenever needed. The same as example is given to us as a bird in the sky. And if we study it long enough, we'll see the airplanes that we ride on to our vacations, etc., in beautiful places or for business or whatever the case, it was designed after the birds. And there's many different kinds of birds, and we have many different kinds of aircraft. And the same thing applies across the board. Everything in the creation that Allah created, He is Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of all of these systems of knowledge. And He is the master of the day of judgment. He's the master. Everything that we do in this life is evaluated, good and the bad. The good and the bad. And we strive, and most of us know that there's going to be a judge day that we have to be judged for our good and our bad. And we see it in our justice system, our court system. You have a prosecutor, he's trying to put you in prison, and you have your own personal lawyer, and he's trying to set you free. And then you have the judge who's ruling over both sides to make sure you have fairness. Allah is all of that in one. He's the master of the day of judgment. And He weighs the good, He weighs the bad. And also there's some forgiveness in there, depending on how we approached the bad things that we did. We might have been under the influence of maybe drugs or sickness or whatever the case. Allah knows. Judges don't know. Prosecutors don't know. Lawyers don't know the fine details. Only Allah. So we strive for the to do good for the day of judgment, when Allah judges us all for our good deeds and our bad deeds. You alone do we worship, and You alone do we seek for aid. This is Allah. You alone do we worship. Now, are we talking about worship as far as bowing and bending and all of the rest of the things, the ritual things that we do? No, our worship is in everything that we do that is good. Everything that we do that is good. Rituals hold a message for higher understanding. And if we continue to perform the rituals of our dear Prophet Muhammad, or Jews in their ritual practice, or Native Americans in their ritual practice, these things are passed now, but the message, the big message, is in the ritual. And if we practice or worship in our life, everything that we do of good is worship. Who are we worshiping? The devil? No, we worship the devil when we voluntarily take drugs and alcohol, rape women, fight, murder, kill. Then we're worshiping Satan, the devil. But everything that we do that is good, we are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah quite naturally is the best knower. You alone do we worship, and You alone do we seek for aid. When we pray and ask God to bless us with aid, bless us with a wife, bless us with children, bless us with a job, bless us with finance, bless us with property, bless us with land, with institutions of learning, for educating our children, and all of these beautiful things for our continued growth and development. We ask Allah for all of these things. You alone do we worship, and You alone do we seek aid. And, you know, we human beings, we're the type of people or type of creation that want things immediately. If I ask for it now, I want it now. That's not the way it works. Allah prepares us to receive blessings because Allah is not wasteful. Everything that He gives, but He wastes nothing. So if you're asking for something big, you better expect something big far as trials and tribulations is concerned. This is the way of Allah. And if we don't understand this, how can we understand the reading of the Quran? How are we going to be able to understand what Allah has given us in all of the 114 verses of the Quran? And this is why we say Surah Al-Fatiha is the opening chapter, opening to understanding the word of Allah. First of all, we have to put Allah in perspective, because there's so much confusion in who Allah is, what His direction is for mankind, etc. So we allow hustlers and schemers and scammers to step into the picture and take us off of the straight path. This is why we ask Allah in this Surah Al-Fatiha, show us the straight path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, quite naturally, is the best knower. Say He is Allah, the one and only Allah, the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is He begotten. and none is like him. I mean, stuff of love, my stuff of love, my stuff of love. Now to see. I mean, Kabbalah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Say he is Allah, the one and only Allah, the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like him. I mean, dear beloved people, I just want to remind us that Surah Juma, the Juma prayer service, is divided into two parts. First part we had just concluded, and the second part we are going to enter into right now. And the first part, it should be about the first part, the second part, excuse me, could be a continuation of the first, which is what we're going to do today. Or it could be reading some hadiths, something about the life of Prophet Muhammad, or something positive. Right? We're going to make a continuation of Al-Fatiha, and we're going to conclude here, inshallah. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, master of the day of judgment. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid. Show us the straight path. And this path, he says, the path of those you have blessed. Actually, let's go back to number six, or show us the straight path. This is what the believer is saying. Oh Allah, show us the straight path. Show us the straight path. Show us the straight way. The straight path or the straight way is an opposite way from the crooked way. Matter of fact, that's the kind of life we live in the world today, crooked, where we have open freedoms to do anything that we desire. We as Muslims believe that the only freedom that we have is the freedom to do God's will. And if we do God's will, then quite naturally, we're going to be successful. So we ask in Allah this, like there's two paths in the road. And we ask in Allah to show us which path is straight and keep us away from the path that is crooked. Show us the straight path, the path of those who you have blessed. Who is that? That's the believer. And you know, sometimes we say, well, it's talking about the Muslim, but it's talking about the Muslim, yes. But a person who was blessed by God, who does all the right things, they can call themselves whatever they want, a Christian, a Jew, or whatever. You say, well, I don't have any religion, I just believe in God and I do the right thing. You say, I believe in God and thereafter I be upright. That's a believer. And we believe that there's going to be Christians and Jews and people who believe in God right along with Christians, with the Muslims, excuse me. And we also believe that they're going to be in hell, also Muslims in hell. So don't be confused. Sometimes our mind is so narrow, we think everything is about us, but Allah is much bigger than that. Look at his universe. Look at the universe that God created. It's so much bigger. It's so big we can't even comprehend it. We can't even comprehend the earth that we live on. So quite nasty, how are you going to be understanding the revelation and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means far as who is his believer? No. Leave that alone. If you believe, alhamdulillah, and then strive to bring that kind of understanding to others. The path of those you have blessed. And there are many examples of individuals who Allah has blessed in his lifetime and prior, time of the Jews, time of Moses and many different prophets, time of his companions, the prophet's companions. These are the believers, the path they treaded on. This is the path that we want to be on, not those who you are displeased with, the ungodly people, the ungodly Jew, as a matter of fact. Because we know that the Jew is a believer is a believer. But we have some who claim to be Jew, but their actions speak louder than their words. Negative actions speak louder than their words. And quite Nazi Garden is the best knower. Or those who go astray.
Hello?
Those who go astray.
Sorry, I forgot.
excuse me, that was I'm on a cruise ship giving this khutbah, and it was the cabin, the fellow who cleans the cabin, he came in, so I had to wave him off. So please forgive me for the interruption. But anyway, the path of those who have been blessed, not those you are displeased with, the ungodly, or those who go astray. And to my understanding, talking about the ones who go astray are the Christian people who were deceived by the ungodly Jews. And we know the history. If not, then we should take time to study the history. Those who go astray, Christian people. And when Jesus came to the people, Jesus didn't come as a Christian. He came as a Jew. He wanted the children of Israel. And what was his purpose? He was trying to guide them back to the right path. As we say, show us the straight path. He was trying to show them the straight. Hey, you went astray. Come back to the straight path. He was never a Christian, no disrespect to Christians, but he had the Christ nature. The Muslim nature and the Christ nature is the same nature. And he was guiding the people, just like we're trying to do now, guide our people to the straight path. And he was a Christian. But they were deceived, those who went astray. And Jesus came to put them back on the straight path. So I hope that we benefited something from this short khutbah. And we ask Almighty God Allah to bless us all human beings in this life. Bless us with good in this life, and also bless us with good in the afterlife. And we pray for forgiveness. We pray for our families. We pray for everyone. And today, as I mentioned, I'm on a journey. You know, we could call it a vacation, but it's actually a trip to stimulate my mind from what my actions are, to try to better understand people. We traveled to maybe 5 or 6 different islands and had the opportunity to benefit from the people who live on these islands. We just left Costa Rica, and I was on a tour bus, and I asked the lady on the bus, I said, she was telling how many different religions were there, and I asked her, did we have Muslims? She didn't seem to understand Islam. She didn't seem to understand. I said, mosque. She still didn't understand, but she knew she didn't have them on the island. So she said, no, we don't have that. We don't have these here, at least to her understanding. So what does it show us? It shows us that Muslims have to get busy and go out and spread the word of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can guide them on the straight path. And this is no disrespect to anybody else's religion, but we believe that Al-Islam is the religion, and it means, actually, Al-Islam means peace, and is bringing us back to the peace that Allah originally created for us. And may Allah guide us in this life and also in the afterlife. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Thank you.